So we still have a really good crowd in here. So what I'm going to assume is this is just a really ethical group where we have a bunch of March birthdays. So happy birthday. So next we have Priscilla DeMata from Isleta ISD in El Paso. Prior to joining the in-house world, she served as external counsel for school districts including Isleta. Prior to joining us here in Texas, she got her JD from the University of Idaho College of Law. She was the first Mexican-American woman elected to serve as the editor-in-chief of the law school's Critical Legal Studies Journal. So we have a smart one coming. And I love this in her bio about her kids. She's a proud mom of a kindergarten student and an equally proud stepmom of, get this, we have a 2023 national champion in women's college wrestling, an undergraduate at the University of Texas at Austin Cockrell School of Engineering, who is interning at Tesla this spring, and she lives in El Paso with her family. So welcome to the stage.
Thank you so much. Thank you all so much for having me. Special thanks to Tony Safi and the planning committee for inviting me to be part of the faculty this year. This was either the first or one of the first conferences that I attended as a baby lawyer. And I remember Letitia McGowan was presenting at the time, and Jim Walsh and some of the greats that are still in the room supporting me now today. And so I want to thank the planning committee also for putting Joy Baskin and Jim Walsh's presentation to follow mine, so I'm not talking to empty chairs. And appreciate your time in sitting here through this presentation, another ethics presentation. And let's just jump into it. This is social media ethics and TMI, too much information. Why you won't be ROFL. I had to look that one up a few years ago. Rolling on the floor laughing, apparently, is a popular acronym to use on social media. So this is our roadmap. We're really going to start with the basics, Rule 1.01 of the Texas Disciplinary Rules of Professional Conduct. You heard it from Ted Lasso himself yesterday. And so we have a duty to both become and maintain competence in the practice of law. So what does that mean in the context of social media use? Casual use by attorneys, yes, I'm sure a lot of us have social media, but also more of a professional use of social media. You know, are you looking at potential jurors' social media pages to see if they're talking about the trial that you're defending? Are you using it for purposes of sending out a notice of spoliation? Are you looking for evidence on social media? So there's definitely a more casual way of approaching social media everyday use, but there's definitely a more beneficial, use of social media in the best interest of our clients, too. So I want to highlight some of the pitfalls in using social media. And these are mostly pitfalls for attorneys. And one of them is online legal advice. You probably have received a DM or a private message from an old high school friend asking, hey, how are you doing? Looks like you're doing great. Your children are so cute. And then, you know, a few messages later, they're asking you for legal advice. Do you practice family law by any chance? I'm like, God, no, I don't do that. And so the other pitfall, somewhat in line with that, is the potential of engaging in unauthorized practice of law. So when you're on Facebook or Twitter, you're essentially operating in a borderless virtual world. So people are asking you questions, seeking advice. That high school friend now lives in Alaska, you know, and so you're not necessarily entirely sure what sort of jurisdiction you're working with, inadvertently or with intent. So be careful with that. We're also going to discuss rules imputed to the non-lawyer assistants. So the Texas Disciplinary Rules of Professional Conduct are also imputed to your non-lawyer assistants. And so we'll touch on that. We'll touch on some recommendations, how you can avoid it. We've seen it played out in some of the cases that was highlighted by a former judge, Judge Browning, who is probably the leading scholar in this area of both law and social media. And so he's highlighted two cases. I don't think I'll have the time to go over those, but they're worth noting because it really underscores the idea that if you don't have workplace guidelines that touch on social media, you're really behind the ball. You really need to get on top of that because you don't know what staff members, what your paralegal, what your legal assistants are doing. And certainly, if they don't know the rules, it's hard to hold them accountable for it.